Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday. Are distracted drivers as bad or even worse than drunk ones? How should you act at a dinner party? Toenail clippings? And just how narcissistic are we? And in fact, perhaps we're not as bad as we thought. But before any of that, Leighton on housing. Wait a minute, this is Mike Hosking's pet subject. We've got a demarcation issue here.
There unquestionably, in my mind, is a housing situation. We've got houses, so therefore there is a situation. What I mean, and I'm sure that you understand, is it a housing crisis? What we're getting more of now is stories from all over the world, particularly Australia, but all over the world, about housing prices and the fact that they are going up and up, and nothing seems to be able to stop it. Nothing's going to, well, maybe slow it down a little at time from time to time, but it won't drop. It'll slow down a bit, is a possibility, and then it will pick up again. It'll plateau, then it'll go on the increase again. I read a piece earlier in the week from, I think, the Australian Financial Review that said there's no threat to housing prices. They were talking specifically about Australia. But we are in the same position, if some would not argue, that we're in a worse position. So the number of houses that will be built with the new government is going to start out at a very, very slow pace compared to what was promised at the election and in the campaign. 100,000 new homes over the next 10 years. It's not going to happen. Will not happen. End of story. It's physically impossible for it to happen, literally impossible for it to happen. There will not be 100,000 homes built by the government over the next 10 years. But the Prime Minister says it'll start slowly, but it will pick up pace. Maybe not.
Imagine having to be responsible for building 100,000 houses. I've never built a house, and by that I mean, of course, supervise the building of a house. The only houses I've ever been involved with were already built. But I know a lot of people who've done it, and there aren't many who enjoyed the experience. Let's just put it that way. Imagine having to do that 100,000 times. Oh my God. Don't get distracted by this podcast if you're listening to it in the car, or Rachel Smalley might come after you.
That's why I think you need to increase the penalties for using a device while driving. At the moment, it's $80, and I think it's 20 demerit points. Someone told me the other day it was 30. I think it's 20. But how is that a deterrent? I say make it $500 or $1,000. Because if you're distracted and you're driving, and like I say, the woman on the bridge was doing over 100 k's an hour, then I'm sorry, your vehicle is essentially a weapon. Given our road toll, I wonder just how many accidents are fueled by drivers who are distracted by their phones. You know, you hear a text or a WhatsApp message or a messenger message come up on Facebook, and you look immediately at your phone. In the US, road fatalities have fallen, but now they're up by about 8%. And part of the blame, authorities say, is drivers who are on Facebook or making calls or Snapchatting or taking selfies, apparently, while they're driving. In New York, they're talking about introducing a textilizer, which is a device that police can use on your phone. They pick up your phone when they first arrive at the scene of an accident, and it will tell them if you've been using your phone, like texting or emailing or using social media at the time of the accident. So they'd use the textilizer in the same way that they use a breathalyzer when they arrive at an accident scene. Smart idea, isn't it? As I said, fining people $80, which is what we do at the moment, I think is hardly a deterrent. Increase the penalty and buy a lot. Ramp it up. $500, $1,000. Because using your phone while driving, I think, is potentially as life-threatening as driving when you're drunk.
She's right, of course. In fact, I would say it's worse. At least when you drive drunk, you are generally trying really, really, really hard and concentrating really, really hard on not letting that affect the way you drive. When you are trying to work your phone, you're not thinking about driving at all. I'm reviewing the latest dash cam from Navman at the moment. That's pretty distracting, I've got to say. I'm a cautious driver, but you know, I need to pay attention to what it's doing as well. It's So the complicated times we're living in. So how should you act at dinner parties?
I got caught out on dinner party etiquette quite recently, last couple of months, and I'm still, like, quite embarrassed about the whole situation.
Uh-oh. So why not broadcast it to the country? I like your thinking. I like your thinking.
Yeah. So usually I'm pretty easy-ozy, you know, when I take wine. It's kind of like if I leave it there, if I drink it, I don't really mind. I'm not a fussy drinker. You know, I just drink whatever's available. You know, red, white, Sav, you know, Riesling, whatever. Anyway, so we're going to an after soccer for the kids' catch-up for the parents, and we were all bringing something to eat, and so you're all bringing your own, you know, something to drink. And my husband had this nice bottle of wine left over from last Christmas, like a $60 bottle of wine. He told me I wasn't allowed to drink it just without him. Yeah. And that afternoon I'd been like super busy and I hadn't had time to go to the supermarket, and so when he got home, we had to go to this party. I said, look, I only got this bottle of wine, why don't we take it and we can drink it together there. He's like, okay, that's fine. So we get there and there's like 10 bottles of wine open, so I just put mine aside thinking we'll open it later. The party finished up earlier than expected and my wine wasn't open, and I picked it up to take it home because I thought, my husband wants to drink it with me, and he will, like, be like, why didn't, you know? And so I picked it up and put it in my bag to take it home, and everyone looked at me doing
So that's a rookie mistake right there. She should not have taken it out. What you take your chili bag and you leave it in the chili bag, and nobody knows what's actually in the chili bag. You may not have even had a bottle of wine in there. It might have just been full of soft drinks. Yeah, she got that wrong. Toenail clipping advice from Marcus. This is what we've been waiting for all year, I'm sure.
And I'm not normally one that actually comments on people's grooming, but my summer hint for you people before you get into your Darwin rig, your shorts and your jandals, or your shorts and your sandals, men and women's feet, particularly men's feet, the first time they get the socks off and a pail don't look good. But I am begging you, before you go out for your first time in your sandals or your jandals, cut your nails. Because that tends to be what happened. People have their feet hidden away all the winter and they whip them out and they think, oh gosh, I'm going to wear my sandals. And their nails look terrible. Like way, way longer. It's a really bad look. Anyway, that's my grooming advice for today. Cut your nails before you get in the sand.
I've often thought, has anybody got nice feet? Is there such a thing as a beautiful foot? I know that people have foot fetishes, but I don't think I've ever seen a foot and thought that is an attractive part of the body. There's generally something wrong somewhere. Your toes... doesn't matter whether you've cut the nails or not. If you look really hard at a foot, they're pretty gross. You don't see too many people posting pictures of their close-up feet on Facebook, for example. I mean, are we a bunch of narcissists? This is what Auckland University have tried to find out.
How did you measure entitlement?
So we used a couple of questions. Basically, entitlement measures sort of a sense that you just deserve more of everything and more of other people in all situations. So questions kind of like, I deserve more things in life.
What did you uncover about people aged over 60?
Yeah, so we were sort of looking to see whether entitlement was increasing in our 20-somethings, our younger generation, but actually the only place that we found it was increasing over time is with people over age 65. Which is a bit of a surprise.
Okay. Is there a difference between entitlement and narcissism, or narcissism rather?
Yeah, so narcissism is kind of the broader concept, and entitlement is part of it, but it's one of the most important parts, and it kind of drives some of the nastier stuff, like, you know, being sort of quite cruel to other people and all of the bad stuff associated with narcissism, basically.
Isn't that interesting? Because, I mean, apart from anything else... the millennials are considered to be that sort of social media generation, aren't they? And yet, I was around, I'm not making this up, I was around at my mum's place, 77, yesterday, because she couldn't get her emojis working on her phone. They disappeared. I'm not making this up. I mean, how depressing is that? I'm sorry to end this podcast on such a depressing note. Hopefully I'll have something more positive on tomorrow's News Talks, Ed Bean. I'll see you then. Bloody old people and their phones, eh?